This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle.
El Menorca tindrà molt guanyat. Precisament, es diu Morgan, la penetració del bàsquet.
Dwayne Morgan is a rising professional basketball star in Spain. This year, he'll be playing for Plasencia. His journey has not been an easy one, but it has been filled with perseverance and determination, fueled by a strong family and a desire to be the best at whatever he does. His basketball prowess started here in New Jersey. Let's get to know him on Sports Jam. Pleased to have Dwayne Morgan, the professional basketball player, former Adelphi University star, and former West Orange superstar basketball player. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for that great introduction. It's a pleasure being here.
So you and I met a few weeks ago at the Right On Sports Camp, and I'll be honest with you, Dwayne, I was so impressed that I had to have you on the show. Your demeanor with the kids, the way you talk about your family, was just so impressive to me. Early on, you were able to succeed, but you also had an injury that kind of made a change in your life. Tell us about that.
Yes, so I was a freshman on the freshman team at West Orange High School, and about halfway through the season, I actually ended up breaking my hand, and it pretty much sidelined me for the rest of the season. And so it was at that point when I was kind of just like assessing the whole situation and seeing like how people were on varsity and JV. I kind of had it in my head at that point, like, all right, like next year I'm going to be on varsity, you know, and that injury kind of let me hit the reset button a bit. And so I was able to just think about what exactly I wanted and how I was going to get there. And that really was a turning point for me.
Playing basketball at West Orange, what's your fondest memory there? Because, you know, you really had some outstanding seasons there, and people remember you quite well because you've gone on to have great success both at the college and now professional level.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, my best memory is going to the sectional playoffs. So when I was a sophomore, I was on varsity, and, you know, we went to the playoffs, and just that whole rush of, like, being a good team and the way people treated you in school, and, you know, winning really affects a lot, especially at the high school level. So it felt like I was on top of the world. And now my career is a little bit weird because at that time I wasn't a great, great player. You know, I wasn't one of the main players. But later on in my career, as a junior and senior, was when I had, like, my best years, but we didn't have the best team around me. So even though I was, like, getting all these individual accolades as a junior and senior, I really enjoyed winning more as a sophomore. You know, that was like the best feeling for me.
That kind of says something about you right there, that a lot of people we know when it comes to making lots of money, that a lot of people are for themselves. But being part of a winning squad means a lot to you.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been on some bad teams and I've been on some great teams. And even at the professional level, like this past year in Spain, my team, I think we lost 3 games. So we ended up going 30-3. And we actually ended up losing the championship game as well. And I just remember, like, that feeling of having, like, the whole team, you know, over there. It's like a culture. So, like, we're pretty much all these people had. And just looking at their eyes after the championship game and they're all crying, and they, you know, that really affects you or affects me as a player. It just lets you know that, like, this is bigger than one player. You know, so I always had that mindset, like, this is bigger than me when you're on a team.
We're going to talk about your new team, Plasencia, in Spain. You played in Spain last year, but this is a brand new experience for you, a brand new team, even better competition as you go forward. But before we get there, your next step in your career was Adelphi University in New York.
Also in for Adelphi, Dwayne Morgan, a really good-looking freshman.
I start to smile here because our latest guest on Sports Jam was Coach Gerald Holmes and Coach Gage Day. You turned down Coach Holmes to go to Adelphi.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, coming out of high school, I was recruited by a lot of local schools. But for some reason, I always had it in my head, like, I just kind of want to leave New Jersey, you know, like, because I knew kids that were going to Bloomfield and I knew kids that were going to all these schools. And I kind of just wanted to get away from that whole situation. So, yeah, I did turn down Coach Holmes. And if I see him today, he would definitely make me remember that. But, yeah, so I chose Adelphi University in Long Island, and, you know, it was a great decision at the end of the day.
When did you know that you had the goods to be a college player?
Man, I'm. It's funny because it was my sophomore year, right at the end of my season. I actually received my first offer, and the funny thing is it was from Coach Holmes. So he was the first one to give me, like, a full scholarship offer, And it was not until that point where, like, I actually had these thoughts of being a college player. And once I get this offer, like, everybody around me, I remember, like, everybody being so excited. And I didn't really get it. Like, it didn't hit me yet. And then I later realized, like, what a great opportunity this is. And, you know, this is really a possibility for me. So that's when I really started to get into my head that this is really something that can happen.
Not everybody gets to go through the whole recruiting process. It has changed through the years. How was it for you?
I mean, for me, it was a cool experience for me. You know, this is something I was not used to. I don't have any older siblings or anybody that's, like, involved in the basketball world. And even my high school coach, he wasn't used to, like, having players being recruited. But it was like every event that I would go to, every tournament that I would go to, there would be coaches there, you know, and they would want to talk to you afterwards. So it was a bit weird for me, like, having these, like, random people coming up to you and, like, you know, being friendly with you. And you know, at the end of the day, like, it's about them trying to get you to come to their school. So it was always a little bit weird for me because I knew having that in your head, it kind of makes you look at things a little bit differently. Like, all right, you know, we're nice and we're having a good relationship. But at the end of the day, if I say no to you, this is over. You know, like, there's no more Mr. Nice Guy. So, I mean, I kind of understood it, you know, on that level. But it was pretty cool, though.
I want to take you back to a certain game. February 14th of 2015 at Southern Connecticut State. You kind of went off the charts, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, man, that's one of the most memorable days of my life because there's actually a deeper meaning to this game that I don't really tell people. But so that morning was the funeral of one of my close childhood friends, Sherrod Coleman. And I actually had to come home the day of the game. I had to come home just to watch, to go to the funeral. And after the funeral, I just remember, like, just having that picture in my head of, like, you know, this is a childhood friend. You know what I mean? Like, this can all be taken away from you at any moment. So I'm driving back to campus from the funeral, like, that morning, and, like, I'm running late, and, like, the bus is about to leave, and, you know, they kind of had to hold the bus up for me. So, like, everybody was, like, a little on edge, and I got on the bus, and on the ride to Southern Connecticut, like, I was very emotional. I'm not a very emotional person, but I was very emotional, and I just couldn't get that image out of my head. So we get to the game, and it's like I didn't even feel anything in that game. Like I wasn't even myself. You know what I mean? And I had the best game of my career, and it was like almost like an outer body experience.
And in that game, you had 13 field goals against Southern Connecticut State. Sometimes tragedy, and sometimes things that really mark a person. Obviously. I don't know. You tell me about what you were really thinking about as you played that game. As you said, you know, you weren't really necessarily into the game. What was going through your mind?
I mean, right before I left the funeral, one of his closest friends, because everybody had knew that I had a game later on that day. One of his closest friends said, "Hey, just go out and get 30 points for Sherrod," because Sherrod was also a basketball player. We played together at West Orange High School, and we played together at Roosevelt Middle School, and he was all about getting buckets, you know. So His friend told me to, you know, go out and get 30 points for him. And, you know, I'm going through the game, and it's like I knew I was playing at a high level, but I wasn't really thinking about the game. Like, I just kept on just thinking about him. And it's almost, like I said, it was an out-of-body experience. And then once I look up at the scoreboard one time and I see I have 30 points, I'm like, wow, like, that's okay. That's a little bit, you know, that's a little crazy that his friend just told me to get 30 points. And I already have 30 points, and, you know, it was just like a fulfilling moment at that time. It's like, all right, I kind of did this for him, you know, and that's kind of what it was like. I mean, it's still pretty crazy when I think about that day. Like, that was, I never felt like that before in a basketball game.
Can you tell us what happened to him?
He was shot. Yeah, he was shot. I think he was 22 at the time. Yeah, very young. You know, just senseless violence that is unnecessary. You know, this guy was probably the coolest guy that I ever met. Everybody loved him. Very, very popular guy in the area. If you knew him, you love him. You know, he's one of those guys. So it was a big hit for the community.
We just lost somebody here at WBGO. One of our news anchors, Glenn Crespo, just passed away. Really makes you think about life and put your priorities in place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that pretty much changes everything. Like, as far as taking things for granted. Like, you don't take anything for granted. You know, everything that you get in life is like, you have to cherish it. You know, you have to be thankful for it and understand that we are blessed to be here and we are blessed to accomplish the things that we might accomplish.
We're here with Dwayne Morgan on Sports Gen. Dwayne, a star at West Orange High School, then went to Adelphi University. How did you end up in England?
Man, so, all right. After I graduated Adelphi, I went to Argentina to play. That was my first professional contract. Okay. So I played for 2 months, and I'm playing well. We had one official game, and I had like 21 points, 9 rebounds. So I was on track to have a great year. So I actually ended up getting injured the first play of the second game. Yeah, it was all, and it kind of all went downhill from there. So the team informed me that, you know, it was a very serious injury, and I ended up having to come home and get surgery on my ankle. And so I actually sat out for like almost a calendar year. Like, my last game was in December, and then my first game in England was in November and so of the next year. So So just during that time of me sitting out, I was, you know, back and forth with my agent, and he was telling me like all these possibilities. And honestly, England kind of just fell in my lap. Like, I was very lucky. It happened at the right moment, right around November time. You know, obviously my body was ready. I was ready to go, but I needed that time off to really repair my ankle. And yeah, it kind of just fell in my lap, that opportunity.
How are the fans in England?
The fans that they're different. They're not really trained to be basketball fans, you know, because soccer obviously started in England. Football, I should say, started in England, and they're really football fans. You know, they're fanatics. They go crazy over it. And when it comes to basketball, they're maybe not as educated in the sport. So it's like big plays would happen, and they're like kind of dull. And then, you know, something like so small could like make them go crazy. It's like they're kind of weird, to be honest. But yeah, you can tell they're very football driven. You know, basketball wasn't like a main priority to them. And that kind of, I didn't like that part of it.
You had told me when we were at the Right on Sports Camp, speaking for the campers there, the young kids that were asking you questions, that it was a dream for you to play professional basketball. But you could have called it quits after you got injured in Argentina. There was probably a point where you questioned whether this was going to happen, right?
Oh, man, definitely. I mean, I remember laying in my room with my foot up in a cast, like not mobile and not able to do anything. And I remember thinking like, all right, man, this might be it. You know, like I might have to just get a job and live the quote unquote regular people's life. You know, that's but in basketball, that's you know, that's a big step for a basketball player to be thinking like that. Like, it really has to be something catastrophic as this. And to me, that was like the end of the world almost. So, I mean, that was definitely like a big mental roadblock that I had to take.
Something that has shaped Dwayne Morgan, obviously your family. We met your brother Miles at the camp, your younger brother, and you talked about how all of your siblings were very concerned when you went to play basketball overseas. Take us back to that moment.
Yes. So when I first had the opportunity to go overseas, my older brother Darren, he was happy for me. Because this was also his dream, you know, not only his dream, but it was my dream, and not only my dream, but it was all of our friends' dreams. Like, this is what we wanted to do. You know, we would play basketball every day in my backyard. I know my backyard was known for having like the best pickup games in the neighborhood. So this was all of our dreams. So to see that actually happen, like, he was excited for me. Like, it was almost as if he got the opportunity. And I have two younger sisters, one named Tyler and one named Jade. And Tyler and Jade were like so emotional, like, no, please don't. Like, you know, they couldn't understand. I would tell them, like, yes, I'm going for 8 months out the year. And that part of them is like, that killed them. You know, like, they were very, very sad and very emotional. And my youngest brother, Miles, he might have been a little bit too young at the time, but he was like, whatever, like, okay. You know, he didn't really understand what was really going on. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting, though. Everybody kind of has their own view on it, you know.
And thank goodness for technology and social media and whatnot, because you've been able to stay close.
Yes. I mean, it's like I can literally see them whenever I want to. You know, they're a FaceTime or a Snapchat group chat away. Like, all my siblings were in these group chats on Instagram and Twitter and, and Snapchat, and we always like sending funny memes to each other. So it's like I'm talking to them throughout the day regardless, you know.
Other than basketball, what's important that you learn from your sisters over here? What do you want to know about what's going on?
Oh, man. I mean, well, obviously, with like current events and stuff, like there's a lot of things that I will miss from being so far away and so disconnected. So they will always like keep me posted on everything that's going on, whether it's politics or whether it's just like cultural things. And when I come back, it's almost like when I go, there's a culture shock. But when I come back, it's not really culture shock, but there's also like that sense of like, oh, I have no idea what's going on. You know, I'm so out of the loop. So they will always teach me exactly what the temperature is, you know. So
you have one of the greatest smiles I've ever seen, especially from a basketball player. You enjoy life, I can tell. And this smile shows the personality inside. It's actually helped you when you go to some place like Spain where the language barrier isn't, you know, as good as you'd like it to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I have full-blown conversations with my teammates that speak no English, you know, and it's all nonverbal communication. You know, the smile, I'll let them know that everything's okay. You know, you can trust me. And then these things really go a long way. This is what I learned. Like, these things really go a long way because people, you know, you can literally talk a different language with somebody but almost be on the same page, and that's crazy to me, but it's like something that I'm experiencing now, and I'm even like testing like how far I can take it, and you know, stepping out of my comfort zone with things like this. And it really goes a long way. Though,
before we hear about your new team Plasencia, how about last year's year for you? It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good year. Like I said, we won a bunch of games. The team was really good.
Jugadors juntament amb Miller a vigilar i de frenar la producció ofensiva d'aquests dos jugadors. El Menorca tindrà molt guanyat. Precisament es diu Morgan, la penetració del bàsquet.
We had a player, a 6'9 stretch four guy from North Carolina. We had a former Maryland guard. We had another former Texas guard. And we had a former Middle Tennessee guard. So we were like a really good team, especially like the Americans. And the national players were also really hard workers and just a very much of a family atmosphere, you know.
A little different basketball fans in Spain than England, right?
Oh, my God, 100%. I mean, those fans are like, they're smart. They know the game, you know. They understand the game, and they're passionate, man. Like, they love it. They're into it.
What has been one of the fun moments maybe that you've had with a fan, because maybe it wasn't even verbal?
Yeah. I mean, oh, man, let me think.
Do you feel their love?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's like this thing where after the games, you know, after the game is over, win or lose, you'll come to the middle of the court and clap the fans. And that's either whether we're home or away, because every away game there's fans there. You know, it might not be a lot, it might just only be 10 or 15 people, but they'll show up. You know, like this is their life, and you can tell it. This is their, you know, their team. There's a lot of pride that comes with it. So yeah, I definitely feel their love.
In Plasencia, what will the crowds be like? Do you know what how the fans will be there?
Yes, it's going to be a bit of a bigger arena than I was playing in last year, but I've heard that their fans are very passionate, like I said, like very knowledgeable, and they also have like a younger crowd. So you know, whether it's kids that play on like the younger teams, but you know, the younger kids always kind of give you that extra liveliness in the games because they do understand the big plays and things like this.
You play your first game for Plasencia and you have just an outstanding game. Who gets the first contact from you back home? Who are you calling to give the details?
I would say my older brother, and he's kind of been like my he's my best friend because we're so close in age and we grew up you know, liking the same things and having a similar interest. But yeah, I would say I'll probably call him and let him know you know, what the deal is and how good I played, and then he'll kind of relay the message to everybody that needs to know, and then I'll go and call my coaches, or you know, I'll tell my girlfriend, let her know, like, yeah, you know, this is I'm in good spirits, and she'll feel it. So Yeah, that's kind of like the pecking order.
We're speaking to Dwayne Morgan here on Sports Den. Says something about your brother, too. You said that, you know, everybody in the neighborhood there had a dream of being a professional basketball player and not necessarily living through your career, but just wanting goodness for you. Where does that come from? That's not always the way, you know, brothers are. There could be some bitterness there. Hey, why isn't it me?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because, like, we just genuinely want, like, the best for each other, you know? Like, he's doing something completely different than what I'm doing right now.
What's he doing now?
Yeah, right now he's in dental school, you know? So he's going to go and be a dentist. And right now I'm a professional basketball player. So I would say, like, those are two completely opposite, you know, paths that you can take. But, yeah, like, well, when it comes to the family, like, me and him, we're kind of like the mentors to, like, all of our younger siblings and cousins because it's like, You need passion to succeed in what you do, but you also need to do the right things in school. And, you know, those two go hand in hand. I mean, he's like the school guy, and I'm like the, you know, passionate with basketball. And so it kind of goes well together. But, yeah, we generally want the best for each other.
He'll always be able to keep you with a great smile, too. When it comes to playing overseas, what's your average day like? We have no idea.
Yeah, okay, so I'll usually wake up. You can sleep in overseas. I'm not sure if you know that. So a lot of people sleep in. I don't like to sleep in. So usually I'll wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll go down to the coffee store, get some coffee, relax. I'll usually bring a journal there, and I write down, like, about my day, the previous day, or I'll write, like, whatever's in my head, maybe some stories or something. And I'll do that until about 11, 12 o'clock, and then I'll go in for, we'll have the first practice of the day. And the first practice of the day will be like an individual-based practice where you just work on skills and you work on certain situations that you would be in the game. And so after that practice, we will go to lunch. And usually you go to lunch with a few teammates. The restaurant usually sponsors the team, so you go and eat for free. That's also good. And I've been drinking a lot of coffee since I've been overseas. So at lunch, I'll probably get a coffee after lunch.
Is the coffee good in Spain?
The coffee is amazing.
What kind of food do you like to eat over there?
I like to eat, the paella is always good, but it's not an everyday meal. Like, I would have a paella on a Friday or, you know, maybe a Saturday or something after the game. But on a day-to-day, like, I eat pretty regular, like chicken. We always have salad. It'll always be a dessert afterwards as well, which is not so great for your diet, but it, you know, it's great in the moment. But, yeah, just, I kind of keep it simple.
And you're at 6'6" right now, right?
Yes. 6'6" and a half.
I knew that was going to, it's going to be 6'7" the next time I talk to you probably. But, when did that growth spurt happen for you?
Oh man, it's pretty crazy because when I was a freshman, I was about 6'1", and I kind of was a lanky guard, you know, like kind of weird, awkward guard, just kind of feeling out my body. And then that summer after my freshman year, I grew to about 6'5", and that changed the whole trajectory of my career because it's like you go from being a guard to you're in public school, so now you're the tallest guy in public school, and now you're a center, you know. So I was kind of just thrown under the basket, and it kind of stunted my development a bit, you know, just from, like, not learning as much perimeter-based skills that I would need for that next level. So, so I would say, yeah, that summer going from my freshman to sophomore year, I didn't even know I grew. I swear, I came back to school, and everybody was like, wow, like, how tall are you? Like, and I'm like, what? Like, I'm regular. And then I go get measured, I think, later that day, for physicals, and they said I was like 6'5". I'm like, what?
So you didn't expect, did you expect to be taller? How about your brother? How tall is he?
I did not expect to be taller. My brother, right now, he's 5'10", but he also grew late. He grew after he graduated high school. So he graduated high school at about 5'5". Yeah, it's weird. So he graduated very small. And then afterwards, like going into his freshman year in college, he grew to about 5'10", 5'9", around there.
Wow, that's a big difference between the two of you. Miles is looks like he's pretty tall, right?
Yes, Miles, I think he's going to be pretty tall, too.
He's not interested in basketball, he said, though.
No, he's not. And that's another thing. It's like you kind of have to have that self-motivation at times, because in my household, it's not like basketball is pushed. You know, this is like something that I picked up on my own, and I have to like continue to find motivation like outside of my comfort zone, which is my household and my family, because they really, I'm teaching them about the sport. You know, it's like I'm the first one to do it, you know, and the only one at this point. So yeah, that's a little bit difficult. But Miles is, he's more of like a track and field guy, and he's also on the step team. So he likes to dance, and you know, he has like he has a big personality. So like he's kind of out there more.
Dancing. How about music for Dwayne Morgan?
Oh man, I love hip hop music, but I'm also Jamaican. So I grew up listening to a lot of dancehall music. My father will always play dancehall in the house, and you know that up-tempo beat and those lyrics. It's like it just makes you feel good. You know, it's always like a party kind of feeling, and so that's like the kind of stuff that I was raised on. So obviously I still listen to that, and I still listen to music that kind of reminds me of that.
Any particular artists that you're a favorite, whether they be in hip hop or Jamaican music?
I mean. In Jamaican music, I mean, reggae and dancehall, I would say I like Vybz Kartel, Adonia. I'm not sure if you're familiar with these artists, but they're very, very big in Jamaica. Egyptian. Just the other day, said I ran into this beautiful lady. She asked me my name, and I told her it's Egyptian. And here... You know, the regular stuff is nice, like the Drakes and the Kendrick Lamars and all those. But I also like the younger generation coming up, because I feel like their music is more hungry and it maybe come from a more of a real, realistic place.
Any jazz in Dwayne Morgan's lineup?
Oh, man. I mean, jazz is funny, because whenever it comes on, I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, I have to start listening to this. But then I never, like, go out and fetch the actual music. But I definitely appreciate jazz.
Where does this personality... that you have that's so infectious. So who do you attribute that to?
I think most of it comes from my father. And my father's like a really humble guy, but he kind of witnessed a lot. He kind of been through a lot. So he's from Jamaica, and he's from like this very dangerous street in Jamaica. It's like not world renowned, but in Jamaica it's pretty like popular, Maxville Ave. And, you know, he comes from that kind of background, and he came to America when he was about 16, 17, and he kind of worked his way up and kind of made something of himself. And he always kept like very humble about it. You know, he wasn't like showing it off, or he wasn't talking about it every chance that he got. And I think like, I pick up a lot of things from him, and just seeing like how he operates and how he moves and what makes him tick. I think those similar things are inflected in me.
Do you enjoy being a mentor to others?
I love being a mentor. I always, whether it's basketball or just life, you can never have too many. You know, you can never learn from too many people. And if I could be that for somebody, then that's very fulfilling for me.
You're at the coffee shop. What are you writing down? What are these notes that you're writing about?
Yeah, so I usually just write about deep thoughts, because I have a lot of deep thoughts. I'm not that big of a talker. I think more. And so I usually just, like, continue from what I was thinking in certain situations, maybe the day before or that day. And sometimes I'll write, you know, like a short story about an experience that I had, and just like remember things. And it's very random, you know, it's very random. Like, I can start just writing about pretty much anything that pops into my head.
Something that pops into your system is something you've been able to do at a very early age. You won a dunk contest early on in your career. Not everybody gets to dunk, but what does it feel like in pro ball to come down and just slam over somebody?
It feels amazing. I mean, I always say that 2 points is not always 2 points, you know?
On the break, here's a slam dunk by the trailer, Dwayne Morgan. It's Harkins feeding the trailer Morgan, and he knows what to do with it once he's got that kind of space.
If I get a big dunk and the crowd is going crazy, and my teammates are going crazy, the bench is going crazy, the other team, they most likely will not respond positively to this. So the next time they come down, we're probably going to get a defensive stop, you know, and then we're going to come down and make another shot. And it all started from the dunk. So that one dunk might account for a 5-0 run.
Nothing necessary for Precious. Morgan does it again.
That feeling is it's just a rush, you know. I can't even put it into words. It's like a rush, and it comes over your body, and then when everybody acknowledges it, and you know it's in the right moments, there's like nothing like it.
How about draining a three? Does it compare?
Draining a three is also very satisfying, but I would rather dunk. I mean, I shoot threes and I dunk, but I would definitely say that dunk. It's so hard, you know. It's not the easiest thing to do. Like anybody could really come up and shoot a three, but it's, you know, driving through the lane and dunking on somebody, that does something totally different for your team.
High school, college, professional ranks, who's been the toughest player that you've played against?
That's a very good question. I played against a guard when I was in college. His name was Jelvis Solano, and this guy was incredible. Like, he can score from pretty much anywhere on the court, and he was about a 6'1", kind of stocky guard. He really had no flaws in his game, and I would always be matched up against him because I was like one of our better defenders. So,
what school did he go to?
He went to Merrimack College. Yeah, he was really good though. I never told this to him, but he's really good, very impressive player.
Respect on the court. When in a game does the respect part come in? Is it before the game, during the game? When does that just come into play?
Yeah, I mean, before the game, like, I will always, to myself, I will always say, like, okay, I respect everybody. You know, everybody, if you're a great player, not so great player, just for being on the court, you know, and doing the same thing that I do, I respect you, but you don't want to give too much respect at the same time. So I would say before the game, you acknowledge, you know, players, and you acknowledge sportsmanship and all of this, but during the heat of the battle, that respect it can't take over. You know, it's like almost you respect them, but you don't fear them, or you don't want to, you know, have any doubts about your own self. So you kind of want to put that to the side a bit. But after the game, you know, and before the game, it's 100%. Everything is very, very respectful. Great players get, you know, great respect, and even not so great players will also get great respect.
Who would you like to meet in the game of basketball that you haven't had a chance to yet?
I would like to meet, I would say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Rebound, Kareem. Look at him. Have to horse it. He has 41 points. Right now, L.A.'s been outscored in this fourth quarter, 9-4.
You cannot ask anything more of Jabbar. He's done everything today as he's done in the past game.
For many reasons. The most surface reason being is that last year I grew out my beard, and so many people would tell me, you look like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I never understood it. So I went back and I looked at like younger pictures of Kareem, and I saw the resemblance there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then after that, I kind of like researched him and all the philanthropic things that he did, and all the stuff that he did off the court. You know, I would definitely love to just pick his brain, you know, just see how he thinks about certain things and, you know.
Well, then I advise you learn about jazz, because Kareem is a huge jazz fan. He's been a guest on this program. Obviously, he has a completely different game than you do, mm-hmm. right, when he played with the sky hook and everything. How about moves? What do you have, a patent move that everybody says, oh, there it is, that's Dwayne Morgan?
I wouldn't say a patented move, but there's moves that I go to very often, like a hard dribble left, spin right. You know, I can do a lot out of that, and I've used that a lot. And I also scored a lot of points in college off of a double jab. It's like the most simple move, but I guess it's pretty hard to stop, especially in college. Yeah, I scored a lot of points off the double jab move. So maybe that is my patented move.
How many free throws a day do you shoot?
Oh, man. On average, I would probably say no less than 50. That's an area that I'm really trying to improve as well. I'm always trying to improve in that area. But, yeah, I would say no less than 50.
Dad takes you to that street in Jamaica. And what do you think that he would say as he introduced people to his son, Dwayne?
Oh, man. I think my dad is very proud of me, and he's very proud of all that I accomplished, and he lets me know this, you know. So I think he would nothing but high praises, not only about the basketball stuff, though. He would introduce me as, you know, a great man or a good man, which is what he is the product of. Like, he's the reason why, you know. So I think he's very proud that I turned out to be a good kid, a nice kid, pretty much stayed out of trouble, and on top of that is a pro basketball player. So I think he thinks that's really cool, but he doesn't think that that's it, you know. It's bigger than basketball for him.
What's Father's Day mean to you then?
Father's Day, it just means showing appreciation. Like, we're not too big on the holidays, so it's not like the biggest deal, but it's just like a day to acknowledge it and, you know, just show appreciation, because especially nowadays, fathers don't really get that much love or attention in, like, the mainstream kind of way. But for me, what my father did for me, like, that's, like, invaluable, really. So it's just another day to show appreciation.
Are you close to maybe making the NBA?
You know, I think my game is close. You know, my game is definitely close. I've played with many NBA players, and I match myself up with them and see where they are and see where I am. So I know my game is close. It's just a matter of being seen by the right people and getting put in the right places.
When you see these kids talking about, you know, they want to make the NBA, they want to be a professional basketball player, you've lived through this now. What's your advice to a young kid who maybe has some pretty good skills at an early age?
My advice would be, obviously, work hard, but don't get discouraged and don't get easily taken off your path. Like, I'll give you a story. In my sixth grade, when I was in the sixth grade, I tried out for my school, my town's traveling team. And it was like a big deal. Like, if you were good, you were on a traveling team. And it actually was ran by Senator Cody at the time. So I try out and, you know, I did my best and whatever. And I ended up getting cut. And I remember this is the sixth grade. And I remember thinking, like, wow, like, I'm not one of the best players in the town. Like, the town is pretty small, you know. Like, if I'm not the best player here, like, how can I dominate somewhere else? So, but I never let it, like, affect me negatively. Like, I always would use that as, like, fuel, you know. Not to sound cliche, but, yeah, that kind of got me going a bit, too. You know, it was like, all right, like, I have to prove something now, you know. So it would have been very easy for me to say, you know what, basketball is not for me. Like, I'm in the sixth grade and I'm not recognized as a basketball player, and, you know, on the traveling team, you know, there's no future in it for me. I could have easily done that. So I would say, just don't get easily knocked off your mark. Like, have your goal in your mind, realistic goals, but have your goal in your mind, short-term goals as well, and just achieve it. You know, don't let anybody tell you that, you know, it can't be done.
The fuel inside Dwayne Morgan, believe me, is premium grade. And what a pleasure it's been to have you here on Sports Jam. Best of luck in Placentia this season, and best of luck to your family. You're a delight.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here, and pleasure meeting you and knowing you as well.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the past shows by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.